fear and anxiety. And I've had a lot of anxiety in the past few minutes. I just want you to know. when you're dependent upon this PowerPoint stuff, though I have the notes right here, I thought, well, could I make copies? Not fast enough. I thought, we are in trouble. Now, thank the Lord, we have a plan B. If you could go ahead and dim the choir lights, that would be wonderful. Jonathan back there, Tim, Stephen, somebody dim the choir lights. Maybe y'all can see a little bit better. It's a little less font, but it's there. So praise the Lord, it's there. Don't dim this light because I can't see. All right, Philippians chapter, that'd be bad. Philippians chapter number 4, and we're going to start here, and we'll have prayer. We're going to review. We're going to try to give you some more material, and we'll try to move through this as we can. Praise the Lord that no matter what happens, we can, verse 6, be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things have a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Lord, we ask now this morning that you would help us. Thank you for enabling us to get this other projector and get it up here. And now, Lord, I pray against any work of the devil. Lord, Satan will do what he can to hinder what you want to do here. And I thank you that he's a defeated foe. And we plead the blood of Christ upon this place. Lord, I pray you give me the words to say. Lord, these are your folks. Lord, you created each of us in your image. And Lord, you want only what's best for us. So, Lord, I pray that you would speak to hearts, take truth and use it, draw us closer to yourself. Thank you and praise you in advance, Lord, for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've been on a series for some time in a series here on overcoming fear and anxiety. And by the way, those were our theme verses there. God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. God does not want us to be fearful and anxious at all. We looked at these verses because it's important for us as we recognize how we're going to deal with fear and anxiety in our lives. Oftentimes we think, a medical doctor might think it's all medical. A psychiatrist might think, or a psychologist might think it's all emotional. It might think it's all, a preacher might think it's all spiritual. We're three-part beings. And so we emphasized here very briefly taking care of our body and making sure that we don't have something that is physically going wrong. And we gave you this admonition, make sure you get enough sleep, exercise, put the right things in. We also talked about taking care of our spiritual well-being. It's important for us to nurture. Paul told Timothy this, exercise thyself unto godliness. And it's important for us to make sure we nurture our walk with the Lord. And then we decided we're taking most of our time dealing with our soul. We have our body, our spirit, and our soul, which really consists of our mind, our will, and our emotions. Now, most of our study is going to be on the mind aspect and how we think. I think our will plays a factor too, because we have to let go and let God. Sometimes we face anxiety because we're trying to control our own life. You can't control. There's only one person in control. We'll look at this, Lord willing, next week, unless we don't finish our mind this week. The only person in control is God. And you might have an illusion where you think you're in control, and we're really not in control. And that's our will. And then our emotion. We have a tendency to live by how we feel. How many of you felt, well, you might this week because it was fall back. How many of you felt like getting up this morning? Wow. The rest of you still, okay, good. So the time change didn't help you anyway. All right. But you get up anyway because you have to live not by feeling, but by truth, by fact. And sometimes our emotions can be in control. And so we'll look at that. We'll look with dealing with how you feel and trying to live not by our emotions, but by what is right. But we're focusing our attention on our mind. And here were three aspects with regards to our mind and how we can think properly. Number one, we said that our thinking affects us. You say, why do you say that? Because sometimes we have to take a time out. Think, wait a minute, what am I thinking about? My thinking, I'm not thinking in a bit. We have to sometimes, I said this over and over again, we got to talk to ourselves instead of listening to ourselves. So we have to sometimes recognize that maybe I feel anxious or fearful or fearful or the way I feel because of how I'm thinking. And then we said it's important for us to capture and replace wrong thoughts. Choose to think right is where we are now. Let me see here. Your thinking affects your view of life. Now, we're going to deal with this as we look at choosing to think right. But your thinking will affect your view of life. A lot of people are cynical. A lot of people have a cynical attitude toward life. Your view of God. A lot of people, they have a terrible view of God. They think God's out to get them, or they don't want anything to do with God because they don't understand God. Your view of you. We're going to talk about this today. My mom used to tell me this when I was a kid. She used to say, you know what? You're special because God doesn't make any junk. And we're going to deal with this today, your view of yourself. But a lot of people will beat themselves up. They think I'm a failure. I'm destined to be a failure. I didn't come from a Christian home. I had this and that and this in my life, and I've done this and this and this. Do you know what? God specializes in helping us to be conformed to his image. And that's what glorified God the most, by the way, your view of others. Some people have a wrong view of others. They either see others as individuals that can help me, or they see others as, hey, people are mad and people don't like me, whatever. And so our thinking affects us. Capturing and replacing thoughts. We're going to do an exercise in just a minute, but this is really important. It's really important for us as we analyze what we're thinking, that we kind of put it in slow-mo, that we take a time out and we think, wait, this thought that I just had, is it a biblical thought? Is it a true or is it a false? Is it pure thought? Or it's important for us to analyze. And then what are we to do with the thoughts that aren't pleasing to the Lord? We cast down imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And so we've got to analyze then what we're thinking. And we have to recognize that, hey, this isn't right thinking. And if it's not right thinking, I need to not think on what's right. I mean, on what's wrong. I need to think on what's right. And sometimes we have to replace then those thoughts. And that's what I'm seeking to try to help you to do as we look at choosing to think right. So what I want to do is I want to help you to think right in the four areas we just looked at. And before we do, let's have a little exercise here, okay? Here's a little exercise for us. And I'm giving you a quiz, Sunday morning, first quiz I've ever given on a Sunday morning. All right, now we have four questions that we're going to ask ourselves, four questions that often pop through people's minds, Christian people's minds. And we would ask ourselves, is this statement true or false, all right? So with regards to God, God is mad at me. Any of you ever have that thought? Christian people do. People, they do. I mean, Christian people, I sinned against God. I failed the Lord, and he's kind of distant because we see God in view of how we sometimes see humans, and we fail someone, and they don't want anything to do with us. They say, leave me alone. Don't ever talk to me again. People even have said, you know, I hate you. They've said all kinds of stuff. God loves us. And when this thought comes through your mind, you have to take a time out, and you have to say, wait a minute, this is not true. Now, I'm going to give you some statements about God in just a minute that we already looked at, but we recognize God is not mad at me, and we'll think biblically about God and what God thinks about us. Here's another question, true or false. I have too much to handle. Life is bigger than me. Right? There's a lot we could say about ourselves, right? Do you know what? Unless, now there are some times where we take on too much. But you know, I think for the most part, many of us are trying to do what's right, trying to be the family person, the father, the mother, whatever we're supposed to be. Do you know I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me? When this thought comes in, when the thought comes in, oh, this is just too much. I can't handle this. Well, you can't handle it, but you can through Christ, which strengthens you. We have to take a time out. And we have to say, wait a minute, I shouldn't be thinking this way. How about our circumstances in life? The world is falling apart. If I was to ask, probably many of you would say, the world is falling apart. All right, it's one thing to say it this way. The world is just falling apart. Yeah, your tone can say a lot. The others say it this way. The world is falling apart, you know. The reality is God is in control. And circumstances come into our lives that we can't do anything about. And we have to process our circumstances biblically. All right, here's another quiz. True or false? People don't like me. You know, you think, oh, nobody likes me. I'm not accepted amongst people. And you know, there's a lot of insecure people in this world. There's a lot of insecure Christian people in this world. There's probably some insecure people right here in the auditorium thinking, I wonder what people are thinking about me. So I just put this little quiz in here to get us thinking, because these thoughts sometimes come through our minds. Now, we've already looked at God and truth about God. And so we go back to the question that we asked ourselves that sometimes it comes into our mind, God is mad at me. When thoughts about God come into your mind, you got to take a time out and you got to say, that's not true. I'm not thinking about that. I'm going to think about what is true. Do you know what Satan did in the Garden of Eden is try to get Adam and Eve to think in a non-biblical way about God? God's holding out on you. You can't eat of this tree. God's keeping back from you. He's holding out on you. That is not true. Young people think this. They think, if I surrender to God, God, have thine own way, have thine own way, that my life is going to be miserable. And I'm going to tell you something that's a lie, and it's actually the opposite. There's a lot of older folks in our auditorium that could testify to that and say, hey, I was away from God, and when I was away from God, I was miserable, and when I said, I surrender all, take my life and let it be, that's when God gave me the peace of God that passeth all understanding. So thoughts will come in your mind that are not right about your God, and you got to take a time out. That is not true. This is true. God's in control. God is always good. God is always with me. God is always out for my best. God is always faithful. And if you want to study this out further, the Bible is full of other truths about God. You can begin your own study about God. As a matter of fact, let me say this. If you struggle in this way, and I mentioned this in the past, sometimes people that have come from a home where dad was out of the home, where they didn't have a dad, maybe where they had an overbearing dad, sometimes that affects people's picture of God. And if that's your case, I would encourage you to do a study in the Word of God about your Heavenly Father, about your God that loves you and cares for you and is always out for your good. We have to think biblically, and so we've got to then cast down thoughts that come into our mind that are not true and that are not biblical. Now, I want you to take your Bible and turn to Romans chapter number 8, and I want to give you some new material. I want to get us thinking biblically about ourselves, all right? So I want you to see here, to think right about me, and I want you to see truth about yourself here. And whether you think it or not, what I'm about to give you is true. And by the way, this is not exhaustive either, all right? This is not exhaustive either. Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 1, the Bible says, actually, let's go to, I'm at Romans 8 on another one, but that's not this one. So we're going to Romans 8, verse number 16. The Bible says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Number one, you are God's child. I want you to say it with me. Say this with me. Say, I am God's child. Ready? Go. I am God. I want you to look at your neighbor. I want you to look them right in the eyes. And I want you to say to them, I am God's child. Do it right now. You're God's child. I'm going to tell you something. You can say, we'll say some others with attitudes, all right? We'll put some attitudes into these. You are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Well, you say to me, yeah, but you don't understand my past. You're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You are God's child. Nobody can take that away from you. Nobody at all. You say, yeah, but Pastor, I'm going through some difficult circumstances, and I get it, but you're still God's child. He loves you. You think about, if you're a parent here today, I want you to think about the love that you have for your children. Think about the love that you have for your children. You say, man, I love, I'd do anything for my, I love them. God loves you way more. Or join heirs with Jesus Christ. You see, wow, I don't understand all that. But I'll tell you this, we need to stop thinking things that aren't true. We need to stop letting the devil beat us up with stuff that isn't true. You are a child of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when thoughts come into our mind about being useless or about saying, hey, I'm nobody, we got to take a time out and say, stop, that's not right. I cast that down and I think I'm God's child. Think about this one. Ephesians 1 and verse number 6. Ephesians 1 and verse 6, the Bible says, I'm going to read the verse. You can find it with me if you want. Ephesians 1 and verse 6, the Bible says this, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. You are accepted in the Beloved. You see, yeah, but when I was a kid, I was always the last one to be picked. Nobody wanted me on their team. And so they said, okay, well, I guess you can have so-and-so. And when I was in junior high, you know, they picked somebody to be in the play or someone to play the piano or something, and I never got picked. And when I was in senior high, and even now, you know, hey, can I tell you something? By the way, I'm going to correct that thinking when it comes to others, all right? I'll correct that thinking when it comes to others. But you know what? You are accepted in the Beloved. You go to God and you say, hey, here I am. Open arms. Again, sometimes we don't feel that way with individuals. Do you know when you were little and you broke the cookie jar? Or, you know, you shattered the window? You remember that? Maybe you didn't have a problem. My brother and I were running, chasing each other in the house. I mean, he was chasing me. I guess I did something to get on his nerves. He was older than me. And he was chasing me through the house. And so I ran down the stairs and ran out the back. And I closed the door behind me. And he didn't know the latch latched. And he pushed the door and poosh, went right through it. He had glass all sticking out of him. When I look back now, that was kind of funny, knucklehead. But I'm going to tell you this. I wasn't too anxious to go see my dad. Hey, Dad, how you doing? No. Most of the time what happens is this. This is what happens, right? Somebody breaks something, and so we try to, and we wait a couple weeks, you know. Who broke the new, you know, chandelier, the new mom's new vase? Who broke it? I don't know, man. I remember years ago I addressed our Sunday school because people were leaving stuff on the rack or something, and I made a joke. I said, you know, well, I know no one here does this, but while we're all gone, some mysterious creature must come in and do this, whatever it was, leave a mess or something. Some little girl, Matt Barfield's daughter, she's like, oh, the mysterious creature. You know, I had to be careful what I said. You know, she believed me. We got these mysterious creatures. And I was trying to say, you know, nobody does it, you know. But you know what? When you do something, we're not all that anxious to come and to say, it was me. By the way, take responsibility. That's another whole message. Take responsibility. None of us is perfect. But you know what? When we go to God, come on. You're accepted in the Beloved. Do you know God doesn't accept us just based on our good performance? God loves us for who we are. And He accepts us for who we are. And God's not about our performance. Hey, we love Him, and because we love Him, we serve Him. But you are accepted in the Beloved. God always accepts you. Wow. We think about this. And by the way, don't let the devil or anybody put wrong thoughts in your mind. You're accepted in the Beloved. How about our security? Romans chapter number 8, great passage of Scripture. I mean, great passage of Scripture. The Bible says in Romans 8, and verse number 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Slide down to verse 38. I am persuaded neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I don't have time to go into all of this in this verse, but I'm telling you, He takes care of the gamut. We live in a society where it's unfortunate. Divorce is rampant. We live in a society where, a couple gets married, and then a few years later, the husband might say to the wife, or the wife might say to the husband, I don't love you anymore. We have children that grow up in a home, and sometimes the children decide, hey, I'm going to do my own thing, and they say to their parents, hey, I don't really love you or care for you anymore. We live in society, people have friends, and they can be friends, and they can be close, and they can have a good relationship, and then something happens, and that friendship may say, hey, I don't want to be your friend anymore. Can I tell you this? The Bible says that nothing in this world, no person in this world, no problem, no circumstances, nothing you face will take you from the love of God. He loves you perfectly. You are secure in Him. He doesn't love you today and not love you tomorrow. He doesn't love you, by the way, more today because you're in church and less tonight because you missed the service. He loves you the same. He loves you perfectly. And we need to recognize this, that I am secure in Him. He loves me. And you know what? Sometimes the devil will try to put thoughts in your mind concerning your relationship with God, and God's mad at you, and take a time out and say, that's not true. Romans 8 says we're free from condemnation. The Bible says in verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You know what? I'm going to heaven. And you can't do anything to take that away from me. You know, it's interesting because when you look at the New Testament, and I know we don't see this humanly, but when you look at the New Testament, you see individuals, and actually not just the New Testament, you know, people that live nowadays, you know, what is the worst thing the enemy wants to do to you? They want to kill you. And they give you a ticket to the greatest place ever, heaven. What do? They take you from here to the presence of God. Wow. You know, when we think of it that way as God's people, as Christian people, we ought to be confident in the fact that, hey, I'm going to heaven. You know, we hear the song, I'm going to heaven, can't wait, going to see Jesus. Anybody familiar with that song? I saw singing for a solo sometime. Anyway. By the way, this world is not my home. I'm just to pass things through. My treasures ought to be laid up. I'm changing the song a little bit. Somewhere beyond the blue. Sometimes God's people sing the song, my treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue, when they're living for earth and that which really doesn't matter in life. Man, you're going to heaven. Streets of gold. I mean, you're going to be there forever. I mean, even though sin in heaven, you're going to get along with everybody in heaven. Let me say it this way. Everybody's going to get along with you in heaven. How about that? No more pain, no more tears, no more problems, no more. You look at that. Wow, I'm excited about that. You know, when we think eternally, boy, it changes our perspective about here on earth. Now, how about I have Christ's power? The Bible says in Galatians chapter 2, I mean, this is an amazing truth, too. I got to get moving here. I'll never get through this series. Galatians chapter 2, tremendous. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. I was reading this morning from the book of Hebrews, chapter number 4. He was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Do you know what the next verse says? It says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. Do you know every temptation that you go through, hey, the challenges that you face in life, Christ has been there, yet without sin. And He says this to us, come boldly to the throne of grace, and I will help you. Boy, we have Christ's power in our lives. Christ lives in us. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. You may feel all alone in this world, but you're not. He's with you. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. Now, when it comes to our thinking and how we think, the devil is going to try to do what he can to get us thinking in a non-biblical way about our God. We've got to time out and think right about God. The devil's going to try to get you to think in an unbiblical way about you, I'm a failure. By the way, the Bible's full of failures. Peter failed miserably. I mean miserably. And God used him in a great way. And God will use you and I in a great way if we won't stay in a state of failure. If we'll recognize that Christ lives in us. None of us are failures. We're God's children. And the Spirit of Christ lives in us. And we have His power to do all things through Christ which strengthens us. Quit beating yourself up. Quit thinking that you can't. He can. All right? Quit thinking in an unbiblical way. I can't measure up. No, none of us can measure up. Christ is the standard, not another individual. And we think we can't measure up when we compare ourselves with another individual. And the reality is He's the standard. And we need to recognize that, and we need to think biblically about ourselves. Now, let's see what we're going to do. Actually, we're going to do number two. Here's what I want you to do. Well, we're not going to do all these because we'll never get through this message. But I want you to look at your neighbor. I want you to get a little attitude. Say to them, what is number two? Am accepted in the beloved. All right? Tell your neighbor that. I am accepted. That's right. All right? Now, when the devil tells you you're not, you look at the devil and you say, look, buddy, I am accepted in the beloved. I am a child of God. Christ lives in me. All right? Let's try to get through one more. Now, let's look at this truth. Oh, I have one more. Look at that. I am more than a conqueror. That's probably the one I was going to have you ask you. Think about this. The Bible just doesn't say you're just a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror. God didn't have to put that in. God could have just said you're a conqueror. But God said, no, you're more than a conqueror through Christ. Wow. All right, I think you get the point. All right, let's talk about our circumstances. The things that come into our lives that sometimes we have a challenge with. Number one, good and bad come to everybody. All right, when it comes to processing life, when it comes to processing our circumstances, the Bible says, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. All right, I quote that one for you. Good and bad come to everybody. Now, here's our tendency. Our tendency is when we face bad circumstances to look over there and to say, look at Sarah Mawson over there. She has no bad circumstances in her life. She has it all together, right? Sarah, do you have it all together? She says, no. I'm convinced, by the way, if God sets circumstances up on tables here, and you saw the Jim Thomas table and the Steve Brown table, and you were Tyler Conlow, I'm convinced that if you could pick, that Tyler would go to the Tyler Conlow table and take the circumstances that he has in his life, and he wouldn't take the circumstances in someone else's life. But the reason sometimes we struggle with circumstances is because we forget. I'm born of a woman, all of us, right? Hopefully we don't forget that. But a few days, and life is challenging. We live in a fallen world. God gave people, and we'll see this in a minute. As a matter of fact, it might be the next one. No, I better stay with the notes, or I'm going to be all across the map here. All right? So we all have circumstances that come into our lives, all of us. And it's easy for us to think that, by the way, good comes to you too. Do you know the Bible says the Lord daily loadeth you with benefits? Is that true or false?
True.
Well, we need to quit focusing on the negative. We need to quit being negative and thinking, oh, I got this, and man, I got a bad rap in life, and I got... No. That verse is true for all of us. He daily loads all of us with benefits. What do we need to do? We need to focus on the positive, the benefits, and not the negative. Circumstances can grow us in our walk with the Lord. Circumstances can cause us to know God better, can cause us... Hey, in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, remember the Apostle Paul? He had a thorn in the flesh. We don't know exactly what that was, but he had a thorn in the flesh that he thought if it was removed, he could serve God better. It was a difficulty. Some people say it was a physical difficulty. And God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Circumstances can grow us. But you know what? We need to remember this. Circumstances can derail us. In Genesis chapter number 4, I think it's the story of Cain and Abel. They both had the same opportunity, and one served the Lord and the other didn't. When you think about this, all right, let's look at it this way. Here's a bad circumstance that comes your way this week. I don't know what it is. Maybe your car breaks down. Maybe you get a bill unexpectedly. Maybe you get bad news, maybe a health issue, whatever. It's a circumstance that comes your way. Now, with this circumstance, two things. Number one, God's grace is sufficient. God wants to use our negative circumstances to draw us close to Himself. We have to respond biblically. But along with that circumstance, the devil's coming around here. And the devil's going to try to do what he can to get us bitter and to derail us and to keep us from serving the Lord. Homes are full of people this morning that are saved people that are out of church because a circumstance came and they allowed themselves to get bitter and they're out of kilter with the Lord and the things of the Lord. And God has set it up that circumstances will draw us close to Himself. But circumstances can also derail us. Why? When we face negative circumstances, that's where we have a tendency to think bad about God, to think bad about ourselves, to be frustrated with the challenge that we have in our life. And so it's important for us. Two more and we'll be finished. We need to do our part to bring about change. What I mean by this. The Bible says, whichever your hand finds to do, do it with all thy might. And we'll talk about this in a future lesson. But when circumstances come our way, we need to do what we can to bring about positive change. If there's something that I can do to fix this circumstance, I need to try to do it. I mean, people say, well, this is how it is, and this is where I'm at, and I can't do anything about it. No. Sometimes we can. Sometimes circumstances come into our life because God wants to move us in a certain way. We need to act to say, hey, I'm going to bring about change in my life. And then lastly, this is really, really, really important. We have to respond properly to the circumstances that come into our life. In Genesis chapter number 50, we read the story of Joseph and his brothers. And his brothers come to Joseph and they say, hey, Dad's dead and here we are. And what does Joseph say? Remember what Joseph says? Joseph says this: you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. You're not going to like all the circumstances that come your way. None of us is. I mean, it's not that every day, you know, all these happy things come, hey, my life, you know. You know the difference between somebody that seems to, how many of you know somebody that enjoys life? So I know somebody that seems to enjoy life. Okay, how many of you know somebody that seems to be like Eeyore on Winnie the Pooh, you know, they're down, negative. Okay, do you know the difference between the two individuals? We're talking about Christian people. They placed their faith and trust in Christ, and they're on their way to heaven. Two Christian people. The only difference between the two is how they respond, is the choice that they make to respond properly. You can't say that the person that is down, has all the bad circumstances in the whole world on them. We all have good men. The guy over here, you can't look at him and say, well, he doesn't have this, and he doesn't have this, and he doesn't have it. You can't be doing that. You don't really know what he's going through. It really boils down to a choice to say, okay, God, I'm in these set of circumstances, and I know that you work all things together for my good and your glory. I want to respond in a biblical way, and I want to be made more like Jesus. Do you know sometimes the circumstances are stuff you have to say this: God, I don't know what you're doing. I don't really like these circumstances. But God, I want to respond properly. Will you help me? Our flesh doesn't like these negative things that come into our life. Somebody say, Lord, would you keep me from being bitter? Oh, Lord, I don't want to get bitter. Lord, I want to be faithful. And the devil's, remember, he's right around the corner trying to get us off track with the circumstances in our life. We have to think biblically. We go back to our text in Philippians. Why did the Apostle Paul write to the church at Philippi under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, think on these things? Because the Apostle Paul couldn't get in their brain and help them think. It was a choice that they had to make, and it's a choice that we have to make. This thinking isn't right. I need to think on truth about God, about myself, and about circumstances. Next week, Lord willing, we'll look at the truth about others, and then we'll shift our attention on your will. Boy, do we have a will, don't we? And how important it is that we let go and let God. Lord, thank you for meeting with us this morning. Lord, I pray you'd help us all in this area. Lord, things come into our minds very easily for us to think in an unbiblical way. Lord, I pray that you would help us to stop and to think biblically, to capture these negative thoughts, and to see ourselves and see you and see our circumstances as you portray it in the Word of God. Lord, I pray now you'd meet the needs of your people here. I ask, Lord, you draw us all to yourself. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. You're here this morning. I have a question. I'm going to pray for you. You're here this morning. You see, Pastor, the Word of God was preached, and the Spirit of God took truth and showed me needs in my life. Pastor, would you pray for me? Can I see your hand across the auditorium? Pastor, pray for me. God's working in my life concerning this. Praise the Lord. Amen. You may put your hands down. Maybe you're here this morning. You say, Pastor, I do not know for sure. My sins are forgiven, and I'm on my way to heaven. I've never placed my faith and trust in Jesus. I'm a little nervous about it. I don't want to spend eternity in hell. Pastor, would you pray for me? I don't know for sure. I'm on my way to heaven. Is there somebody like that? You'd put your hand up and say, Pastor, pray for me. That's my need. Anybody? Would you stand with me, please, with your heads bowed and eyes closed? Lord, I pray now, as we give people opportunity to talk to you, I pray now that you would draw people to yourself and that you'd be glorified in this time of invitation. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Our piano's going to begin playing. As the piano plays, you raise your hand and give you an opportunity to talk to the Lord. I encourage people to find a quiet place down front. If you're physically unable, I encourage you to grab a seat right where you are. And say to God, God, I want to capture my name.